answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you believe Donald Trump has the character to be president again?
Well, I think the next president needs to have moral clarity. I wish Donald Trump was up here on this stage. He's the one that I'm running against.
Donald Trump should be on this stage. He owes it to you here in Iowa.
I'm not going to have time for retribution. We're going to make this country so successful again. I'm not going to have time for retribution. And remember this, our ultimate retribution is success.
Yep. Donald Trump was not on the stage, but he was in the minds of those two on the stage last night in Des Moines for their first debate of 2024 for the GOP nomination. Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. They both qualified under the rules that had been presented, and you had to reach a threshold of 10% in at least three different polls they put out. Vivek Ramaswamy did not meet the number, and he was pissed to no end. And called them out and said, basically, you should just turn off the debate. There's nobody up there of any value. And Chris Christie had announced, knowing that he wasn't going to be on there anyway, announced late yesterday, trying to steal a little thunder from the debate, I'm going to suspend my campaign. Suspend means it's not really over. He doesn't have to start sending all the campaign funds and monies back. He can hold it in a war chest if he wants to resume, or for another one down the road, possibly. A lot of legalities attached to that, so don't take what I said as a full fact, other than he is suspending, which is different than dropping my campaign. Here we are, January 11, 2024. Second hour of Larry Connors USA. Here for you Monday through Friday, back to back. 6 to 8 p.m., and when we're on the air, we're also streaming video for you. It's available at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, or News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And remember, anything you miss that you want to go back and listen to again or even watch, now you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, or you can do the same at Larry Connors USA Facebook. I'm not that hard to find. Ask the IRS. I'm not that hard to find. So by all means, we encourage you to do it, and I also thank you for doing it, and I thank you immensely, those of you who share with other people, because you're helping get the word out, and there's nothing that's going to encourage someone to listen more than a friend telling them, hey, you got to be listening to Larry Connors. And you guys are the reason we've had the growth we had. We just crossed our one-year anniversary on this station. And I'm extremely happy with it. The clients and our sponsors are extremely happy. They know that the listeners of this program are very loyal to my sponsors. You don't always need maybe a John Beal roof or even a fix of a leak. But when you do, or you know someone who does, you can count on John Beal, and I appreciate you supporting him just like we support others. McGuire Moving. Some of you have maybe some moving plans coming up. There's another example. You like cigars and whiskey? Lit Cigar Lounge. You need a business-to-business and or maybe home-to-business issue, environmental inside your house or your business. Environmental. Wellington Environmental is there for you. And then if you're wanting to dine out and have a nice evening, Cafe Napoli, four different locations. You might well find me there on any night or at Lit Lounge. And I might even be hanging out with Tom Wellington somewhere. Or I might be riding around the back of one of the McGuire moving trucks. Saw one yesterday going down the road out on 270. Near approaching 44, and I started to honk at him. I thought, well, I sure don't want to distract him, and then McGuire Moving's in an accident. Now, I won't be blamed for that. But again, I appreciate all my sponsors, and I have several that come and go depending upon the season. But you and your support for them gives me more support. And we're always open for more sponsors. We'll make room for you. We'll work a deal for you. Write me at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. So this debate that was underway last night, and you heard Jake Tapper begin with a question that set the agenda for Nikki and DeSantis. Do you think President Trump has the moral character? Oh, that's one of those ambush questions right away. And they both rose to the surface to get into it, but they didn't answer it exactly the way Jake wanted. So then Jake also decided, let's get into the issue about illegals. Now, I want you to listen as he begins this question. I'd call it almost a monologue. He's admitting what even the White House refuses to acknowledge.
This has been one of the biggest years for illegal border crossings into the United States. Last month alone, 225,000 migrants illegally crossed the southern border. It's a record high, overwhelming the Border Patrol resources that are already stretched thin. Mayors across the country say their cities are being pushed to a breaking point. Governor DeSantis, former President Trump, famously promised to build a wall on the southern border. He obviously did not get that done. You have promised to finish the job. How will you succeed where he failed?
We will build a wall. We will actually have Mexico pay for it in the way that I thought Donald Trump was. We're going to charge fees on remittances that workers send to foreign countries. Billions of dollars will build the wall. He also promised record deportations. Donald Trump deported fewer people than Barack Obama did when he was president. Biden's let in 8 million people just in 4 years. They all have to go back. We have to enforce the rule of law in this country.
We do have to enforce the rule of law. But Jake Tapper, first of all, he's wrong on his figures. Did he write those down a month ago? Said more than 225,000 came through in December. It's 300,000 plus. And that 25,000 doesn't matter to you that much, Jake? I don't know. I think maybe he relied on some material or somebody supplied him, and they didn't bother double-checking the latest figures. But when CNN, and they were hosting the debate, has to acknowledge we have a big issue at the border. And he gave DeSantis a chance to give his response and what's needed. And DeSantis also raised something else up. I didn't have time to mention this in full detail the other day when I saw word of it. It's again happening in Chicago. If you recall, they were going to build a big tent city for illegals in part of South Chicago, one of the poor areas. Because they figure they're poor people. They don't care. I guess that's really their attitude. They're not putting it in the really ritzy areas of Chicago. I know that. But then there was another concern. In Chicago, just in case you don't know it, it gets cold. And there is that wind. It is known as a windy city, and it is nasty. So the city of Chicago, it's a sanctuary city, decided we need to do a better job to take care of these illegals that are here. And DeSantis says what they're doing is putting Americans last.
Just this week, we saw the news that a school in Brooklyn, New York, had the kids stay home. They were not able to go to school, told you can't go get an in-person education. Why? Because the city's commandeering the school to house illegal aliens in it. Talk about putting Americans last. You're putting these kids out of an education because you can't control the border. Biden has failed in this endeavor. He has not taken care that the laws of this country be faithfully executed. Do not trust Nikki Haley with illegal immigration. That's like having the fox guard the hen house. She's on tape at the Aspen Institute. She'll say she didn't say it. She was chastising conservatives, saying it's disrespectful to illegal aliens to say that they're criminals. They're violating the law. It's disrespectful when people come to this country illegally and impose burdens on our communities and run drugs into this country. That's what's disrespectful. She's weak on immigration. She's bankrolled by people who want open borders.
Well, Nikki Haley's response was, that's not exactly what I said. And she said, you can go to my webpage, basically, DeSantisLies.com or something like that. and also added, if his lips are moving, he's the one doing the lying. She did make a remark similar to that, but she was talking about not all of them coming in are criminals. DeSantis is correct. If they're crossing the border illegally, they've committed a criminal offense. But what she's suggesting, that they're not all bad people. They're probably some good people. They just want to have a new life for them and their families. And I'm going to agree with that. I think there are many like that. But we also know there are those that we do not want in this country. And we know that terrorist leaders around the world are watching this and they're thinking, how am I going to get some terrorists inside the U.S.? Oh, I know. We'll just send them to Mexico or the Southern Triangle and have them link up with some others and go across the border, just like they're part of the illegal group. Or we'll get them with drug cartel members, and they'll go across in the middle of the night when maybe they won't be spotted. And yet many hundreds of military-age Chinese men, single, have been spotted going through some of those night cam videos entering our country. We are under invasion. I cannot stress that even more than what I just said. We are under invasion. And Haley says the other part of it is, and this was another issue DeSantis was trying to make against Haley, saying she sold out to the corporations. The corporations want a lot of illegals in the country because they can hire cheaper labor. That is a standing argument often. Haley said, what I really want is a way to make sure who they are and that they've been properly reported.
Governor DeSantis and also Donald Trump are attacking you for that comment in 2015 in which you said undocumented immigrants should not be called, quote, criminals. At the time, the full context is you said, quote, we don't need to talk about them as criminals. They're not. They're families that want a better life and they're desperate to get here, unquote. Do you still feel that way?
I saw them. When I was at the United Nations, I saw them. That doesn't mean we should let them into our country. I mean, first of all, I will tell you that when I was governor of South Carolina, we passed the toughest illegal immigration law in the country. Obama sued us over it, and we won. We fought Obama on illegal immigration. We fought Obama on migrant kids. We fought Obama on Syrian refugees. We fought Obama on Guantanamo Bay prisoners. I have always said we are a country of laws. The second we stop being a country of laws, we give up everything this country was founded on.
Yeah, and that I think we all agree on. We are a country of laws. And even Barack Obama had said, we are a nation of immigrants, but we do have laws. And so did Bill Clinton. And many of the Democrats that are going along with this right now had the same attitude if they were in Congress at the time. But right now they're all afraid and being held hostage by the squad and the progressives. We do know this. Whether or not they're coming mainly to be here just as a new place, a new start for a job, they do many times bring other things, and there's not just crime. There's also a fear of terrorist actions. That story when we continue here.
If you look right now at the border, these are military-age males, many of them, and they're coming from all across this world, not just from Central America. In fact, you've got them from China, Iran, Russia, the Middle East. When I was down there a couple years ago, because I've sent people down there, you had people from Libya and Haiti. This is a ticking time bomb for this country. There are, of course, going to be terrorist cells that have come in. It's like the lowest cost way to be able to harm this country. Just send people across the southern border. Nikki Haley also opposed the border wall in 2016. She said that she ridiculed it when Donald Trump was president. I'm telling you, you need a wall. You can't trust politicians to do this. If the wall's there, it's a physical fact of life, and it's a huge
thank
step
you, Governor
to restoring
DeSantis.
This country's
thank you, Governor
sovereignty.
DeSantis. Governor Haley?
Go to DeSantisLies.com. I said you can't just build a wall. You have to do more than build a wall. It was having the wall and everything else. You can't trust what Ron's saying.
GovernorDeSantis.com. No, GovernorDeSantisLies.com. But again, as I said, Nikki Haley has pushed for a way that if companies and businesses want to hire illegals, there's got to be full verification.
But I will tell you, in passing that toughest illegal immigration law in the country, we passed E-Verify, which I want to take national, which is where businesses have to prove that the people they hire are in this country legally. I passed it within 6 months of being governor. Ron didn't pass it for 5 years. He only waited to pass it when he decided to run for president. What we need to do is not just ban a wall. We need to put 25,000 Border Patrol and ICE agents on the ground and let them do their job. We need to defund sanctuary cities once and for all. No more safe havens for illegal immigrants. We need to make sure we go back to the Remain in Mexico policy so that no one even steps foot on U.S. soil. And instead of catch and release, we need to go to catch and deport. That's the only way we'll stop the incentives of these illegal immigrants coming across. Biden turned around and gave 500,000 Venezuelans temporary protective status. That's 500,000 driver's licenses, 500,000 social security numbers. All that does is incentivize them to pick up the phone, call their family members, and tell them to come.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Governor. We're done. We'll move on. So just between some of those bites I shared with you, even if you didn't watch last night, do you know who won the debate, at least in your opinion? Because it's your opinion that counts. CNN and NNN had been doing a same group of people for all the debates, four last year and now this one this time. They kept the same group because they wanted to evaluate their thought processes in watching the debates as they evolved. And of course, last night it was down to just two candidates. But they were questioning their survey group. Who won?
The very first question I have for you, who do you think won this debate? I'm going to ask for a show of hands. The reason we're with the same group of people all five times, we want to see what's changed in their opinions and what hasn't changed. So, who thinks DeSantis won this debate? One, two, three, four. Who thinks Haley won this debate? One, two, three, four. That's eight. It looks like some people who did not vote. Why didn't you vote?
I thought Donald Trump won the debate. I thought it was kind of
clear. Well, he wasn't here, but you're saying he won by not being here.
Exactly, yeah.
And Jim, I think you think the same thing.
Yes, I do.
Yep, I do. And there were a lot of people that had the same attitude. Donald Trump was not at the debate. He was doing a town hall meeting with Fox News. Again, his position has been, his strategy, I don't need to get in the mud with these people. I'm so far ahead, they can't even sniff the tailpipe. That's how far ahead I am. He did say that when they get down to one of those candidates still standing, Haley or DeSantis, or if Vivek somehow or another is revived, then I will debate one-on-one with one of them. But I'm not going to do all this other thing again. You can't knock the strategy, and especially when you look at what the Democrats are doing. That is, we're not going to do any debates. Just not going to do any. They know their man couldn't stand up for it. Now, if some new candidate comes in, maybe they'll change. We'll find out. Coming up, I want to take a closer look at, even though this was carried by CNN and NN, I want a closer look at how the leftist media actually covered the debate. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I was surprised, Joy, to see them come out immediately, mm-hmm. horns locked immediately, kill, 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 kill,
yeah.
unrelentingly. There's obviously a lot of personal antipathy between the two of them. There's yes. no, like, mutual respect, you're the loyal opposition kind of thing. Like, they clearly hate each other, and from the very first syllable, we're just out to destroy each other, and neither of them laying a glove on mm-hmm. Trump at all.
Mm. Yeah, I have to say, the note that I took on the debate and on watching them battle each other, as you said, and not Donald Trump, is it felt like this debate was taking place on a different planet from the planet we live on. Because the planet we live on is the one in which the attorney for the former president of the United States said that he had the legal authority to kill a man using SEAL Team 6, to order a hit.
A political opponent.
Well, there you have it. That's some of the take from the leftist state-controlled media regarding the debate last night. And, of course, you were listening there to the beginning. You were listening to Rachel Maddow and then Joy Reid. Now, Joy Reid's remarks about Trump could kill somebody and have immunity from it, order a hit. Let me give you some background on this. 8 years ago, before the Iowa caucus, Trump had talked about how he could do almost anything and be accepted. His words were, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible. Well, they made a big noise over it then, as they should, because I don't like the wording. But now they decided, let's kind of revive that because it got brought up in court as Trump has been going into his court sessions. Everybody's closely watching what's happening. These court sessions, today he spoke for about 5 minutes and before his closing arguments concluded, and then the judge ended up cutting him off. This is all the civil fraud trial in New York. And during this 5 minutes, Trump said the judge has his own agenda. And again, this is a civil fraud case. What's at stake? Remember New York Attorney General Letitia James seeking $370 million in damages to bar Trump from doing any business in the state, claiming that he overinflated the values of his property to get loans. First of all, I'm willing to bet every smart businessman wherever they are, if they can, they're going to overinflate the value a bit to get more money. The key would be, do they end up paying it back? And Trump has paid back all of these loans. But she says, well, the state of New York got cheated. How the hell were they cheated? He got the loans, and he paid them back. There are no businesses part of this. It's strictly Letitia James, because she ran on a campaign that I will get Donald Trump's scalp nailed to the door. Now, this statement again that he made 8 years ago, I could stand in the middle of Manhattan, Fifth Avenue, and shoot somebody, I wouldn't lose any voters. There was a judge that's overseeing this case now that I just referred to you. And again, this is not a criminal case. It's a civil case, civil fraud. The judge, Florence Pan, asked Donald Trump's lawyer, as she and two other judges weighed the former president's claim that he should enjoy absolute immunity from prosecution. The question was, and this is the question, could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? Well, the piece is written by their producer and correspondent, Frida Gahaitis, with CNNNN, said, the answer to anyone, not a hardened tyrant, is, of course not. But Trump's lawyers danced around the question, which showed the absurdity of their claim, answering that the president could only be prosecuted if he had been previously impeached and convicted. And she adds, the fact that Trump's team seemed at least, at best I should say, ambivalent over what anyone else could clearly see would be a shocking abuse of power was not one of those far-fetched hypotheticals put forth in the law to frame an argument. Instead, it made headlines, and it resonates. It aligns with the Trump we all have come to know, a politician who has encouraged, promoted, justified, even praised political violence as long as he sees it as a sign of support for him. And after the hearing yesterday, Trump threatened more unrest, saying it's going to be bedlam in the country. When a reporter asked if he would tell his voters to refrain from violence as he was leaving the room. And he has voiced support for those he calls hostages that were taken as prisoners after the U.S. Capitol January 6 event. This writer, by the way, has to add more to it. When the leader of the so-called attempted coup against the U.S., that is not what it was. It was an attempted coup, and it was not an insurrection. The writer of this article said, back then I felt the ill wind. I have witnessed moments like these in numerous undemocratic countries throughout my career. The flashbacks were incandescent upon hearing Trump's words, the ill wind. It's a good turn of phrase, but it's also a bunch of BS. So there you saw how they began talking about the Trump and the debate last night and the fact he wasn't there. And then Jen Psaki. Remember Jen Psaki? We'll circle back to you on that when she first began as White House Press Secretary for Biden. We will circle back to you on that. She looks like an amazing intellect compared to KJP. Be honest about that. But then she weighed in and said, one of the most important things happened even before the debate.
I think today's biggest news, as you started off the show saying, is about Governor Christie dropping out of the race, and his presence at this debate, or his lack of presence, I should say, his absence was very noticeable. I mean, he is the person who would have, in the first hour of that debate we all just watched, stood up, raised his hand politely, maybe not, and said, what are we doing here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we just heard the former defense secretary say the former president told me he would shoot people in the street. And that was absent. And instead, you know, I've done a lot of campaigns. This reminded me of kind of like a Senate or gubernatorial debate a little bit, where they each had the opposition research book where you have on a campaign where you have every vote and every detail of your opponent. And they're just spitting it out, Nikki Haley a little bit more gracefully than Ron DeSantis, at each other. And I was also thinking, Joy and I talked about this a little bit, if you're at home, you still are trying to get votes from these debates, right? And if you're at home and you're watching, you're thinking, what are they talking about?
Yeah,
well, I could ask the same thing of CNN and NNN and Jen Psaki. She just kind of casually threw in that Trump was in the street saying I could shoot anybody. Just kind of dropped it in, no reference, no quote context, as I was trying to give you an advance of it. And I'm sure the CNN and NN audience went, what? Maybe they remember the 8 years ago. Maybe they knew about the question from the judge and the response, lack of, from the attorneys. And yes, I will say it again, Trump has spoken out on times when he should have kept his mouth shut. And if you're a big Trump supporter and you don't like it, I'm sorry, I call the balls and strikes. Nobody gets a pass, not even Donald Trump. Lawrence O'Donnell, another example of how the leftist and state-controlled media handled everything with the debate last night. Lawrence O'Donnell offered something he thought, this is why I'm here. I can let Joy read, and we can let Rachel Maddow do their thing, and Jen Psaki, but I'm here kind of as a white man, kind of a super statesman, and I can add more, quote, context and content than they can.
You never had to say out loud to candidates, until I guess now, is when you're out there, do try to be likable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that isn't even a factor now in Republican campaigning for the presidency. And maybe they're taking that from Trump, right? Who, by all normal human observations, is the most unlikable person who's ever asked for a vote, right? And so, and he got the votes of Republicans. And so maybe they think this audience wants to see nasty. I'm here to do nasty.
Here to do nasty. Well, he blew his, quote, astute statesman's remark when he said Trump, the most unlikable person probably ever. Lawrence O'Donnell, have you not heard of Hitler? Really? Oh, that's right. You guys like to compare Trump to Hitler. Have you not heard about those who plotted to kill thousands of Americans with the 9/11 event? Oh, that's right. Again, Trump is probably the most hated person in the world. But again, their audience, they're preaching to their choir. I know I'm preaching to my choir, but also am preaching to some that aren't in the choir yet, and that's fine. You don't have to stand firmly with me on everything. But they expect their audience is just going to be in lockstep on whatever they say. They can say it and move on unquestioned. And one of the things that is in front of everyone right now, and I know it's going to make some of this audience angry when I bring it up, but I am going to call the balls and strikes on it again. This involves Ashley Babbitt, the woman killed on January 6th. You heard Nikki Haley say earlier that DeSantis stood there and was indifferent about it when her family was sitting there. But I got something else I want to add.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers could help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600, 241-0600, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, let's go back and remember an event from January 6th that obviously was tragic. The whole thing was wrong. I've said that repeatedly. But Trump did not incite and send the people down there to battle with police officers or break into the Capitol building or anything else of that nature. He said, "We will go down there and make your voices heard peacefully." That has been cut out repeatedly by the January 6th committee on any video or audio they release to the public. But then when it was demanded that all of it be turned over, when then the House Speaker, newly elected, said we want all of it, and then in turn he let some of it go to Tucker Carlson's program, we heard things and saw things that they were trying to hide. And they were definitely trying to hide it. Listen, I've been in journalism for a few decades, and I know it depends not only what you put into a story, but what you leave out. And if you're leaving anything out that gives the wrong information, conveys the wrong message, basically distorts the story, then you're failing as a legitimate journalist, if you want to be a legitimate journalist. How many times have we heard since January 6th about all the people who died? Donald Trump is responsible for all of them. But sometimes they even use a phrase, how many people were killed? That phrase is wrong when it's applied to the vast number they want to include. Those who died included a couple of police officers, heart issues. One of them was a suicide, a third one. And then apparently one of the protesters had a heart issue and died as well, too. One person that day was killed. The question is, was it justifiable? Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, and I like the work Judicial Watch does, but I think they're wrong on this one. Well, I'm glad they're helping Ashley Babbitt's family try to get some justice in something. I have no problem with them exercising that right. But here's where I'm going to come to a break of the road for some of you. I lost a prime guest I used to have on here on a regular basis out of California. He was very good, very astute, international lawyer. And in fact, after that interview, he walked away from doing any other radio programs. He thought things were, he just didn't want to be involved in politics whatsoever. Gradually, I've seen him step his toe back in. I've not reached out to have him again, and I may or may not. He's always welcome to be on the show, but I thought, you know, why put him under the pressure of raising it again? He and I had a breakout one night when he was claiming that Ashley Babbitt was killed unnecessarily on January 6th. To remind you, Ashley Babbitt was among those who had gotten inside the U.S. Capitol building, and then there was a broken window outside one of the, either the Senate or the House offices, not offices, the chamber. Someone is helping her get up to climb through the broken window. Now, Ashley Babbitt has a past of serving our country in the Air Force. Born and raised in California, 35 years of age. She got in the Air Force in 2004, served 12 years. She was employed for a period of time, eight times, I should say, by 2018, Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar. Then served with the National Guard. I have the highest regard for everything she did. But when she's climbing through that open window to get into the chamber where members of the Congress are, one Capitol police officer, whose name was withheld for a while, now it's been made public, and in fact, he was even given an honor for, quote, saving lives. I'm going to dispute that point in a moment. But all he knows is he's trying to crawl through the window. Now, my guest that decided, I'm not going to be on your program anymore. I just don't want to do it because we can't agree on this thing. He said she had nothing in her hands, Larry. Why would he shoot her? My response is, if your job is securing that chamber and make sure no one in there gets hurt, she's had numerous opportunities to stop before she starts climbing through the window. She was wearing a backpack, I believe, but even if she hadn't been, who knows if she has a suicide vest on? No one knew that. Turned out she didn't. But she kept coming through the window, apparently being yelled and ordered not to. Whether or not she heard it, I don't know. The officer fired one shot. One shot. If he absolutely intended to kill her, he probably would have lost at least two, but three shots. Fired one, hit her in the shoulder, knocked her back, and immediately others gathered around her, began giving her, trying to save her life, but it had been a devastating impact, and there was no chance that they were going to save her. Ashley Babbitt was a victim, but of her own making, because she chose to crawl through that window. And I'm telling you, if you were inside there and you were the guard, and forget members of Congress, let's say your family members are inside, even at your own home, and someone's coming through the window, and all they want to do is just come in and make a statement and yell and maybe wave a flag. But you don't know that. And there was, quote, a siege mentality around the Capitol that day, obviously. So he fired the shot. In my view, he did exactly what he should have done, because there's no way to know if she had explosives or anything else on her body. He could not let her come into the chamber, period. Now, those of you disagree with me, we're going to just disagree. But here's where I will agree with you, and that is that once they did release the name of the officer, and I don't even have it here in front of me, I didn't even bother looking it up because it's one of the Capitol Police officers. They kept it quiet for a while. They're worried about retaliation. Members of Congress, and I would say mostly Democrats, I don't know the vote on this, so I'm going to back off of saying what I know and what I don't know. But they did put him up for a medal and gave him one for saving lives that day. He did not save any lives. He didn't. He might have thought he was doing it when he shot her, but as it turned out, she didn't have any explosive device. Now, if she had had an explosive device and she fell back out of the window and it went off, then yes, he would have saved lives. As it was, no life inside really was threatened by Ashley Babbitt. So he didn't save lives. But he did stop an intruder with unknown intentions and carrying unknown materials with her. I've always had a problem with the word hero if it's used improperly, and many times it is. A 5-year-old boy picks up the phone and calls 911 because his mother's having a heart attack. And they all say, he's a hero. He's a hero. Well, I like that a 5-year-old boy is getting attention for doing something right, but he's not a hero. In my view, if you're a hero, you risk your life to save someone. Now, if a 5-year-old is out there with his 3-year-old sister and a car's coming down the street at a fast rate, he knows she's in the way and he runs and shoves her out of the way at the risk of losing his own life, then he is a hero. And hopefully he doesn't lose his life. And if he loses his life, he's a hero. Unless you're putting your life on the line, you're not a hero. Firefighters every day go into fires. We don't know what they're going to expect. I do consider them to be heroes in the sense they're going inside where others will leave. Same thing with police officers rushing to the scene of a shooting. They may or may not save any additional lives, but that's a heroic action. It's an heroic action. Not that they get called, quote, heroes. And I'm not dissing or dismissing any of them because I have high regard for our first responders of every type. But too many times the term's thrown around, and the fact that they gave this Capitol Guard a medal, a commendation of saving lives, that was wrong. Something else that is wrong that's come to our attention, I mentioned it to you yesterday, let me spend a little bit more time on it. The Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney, Fannie Willis, of course she's trying to prosecute Donald Trump down in Georgia, she ended up hiring someone to help her gather information. And Politico reported this yesterday as I shared it with you. Fannie Willis and the committee staff working for her and their lawyers and agents all met in April 2022 as she convened or started to convene a special grand jury investigation of Donald Trump. Then what she did, and I'll remind you that not one other member of the Georgia state would join her. She asked several other prosecutors, you'll join me in this. Nope, don't want to. Don't want to get involved in it. Turns out that one of those she hired as a private investigator to work with her was benefiting by making million-plus dollars, and he would take Fannie with him on luxurious trips, and they became paramours, for a polite word of saying they were dancing. As we say in Texas, do the cotton sheet dance from time to time. That could blow her case up. It could blow a lot of the January 6 allegations up. And I hope to hell it does. One other note, there's a talk building again that the Republicans might decide before February 1 that they don't like their new speaker, Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, because he was basically willing to bend a knee to the left and go ahead and push through some kind of spending package instead of shutting down the government before we deal with the border. We're going to have to watch that story. Now, here's something else. Let me turn to another subject for you. Let's talk about the great, magnificent, awesome, Hunter Biden and his artwork. All right. I'd mentioned this as well yesterday, but I want to add more detail to it for you. Yesterday, the House Oversight Committee Republicans released a synopsis of a transcribed interview with a New York City art dealer, the guy who was selling Hunter's artwork. And according to Republicans in his testimony, the art dealer, quote, talked on the phone and met in person with Joe Biden, even attending a wedding the Bidens hosted at the White House. Well, now, wait a minute. We were told Joe Biden knew nothing about Hunter Biden's artwork, or the White House had nothing to do with his dealing in the art world. And in fact, in July 2021, the White House claimed it was allowing Hunter to sell his works without him, Joe Biden, or anyone in the administration knowing who bought them. That was reported by the New York Times. And all the buyers were supposedly anonymous. How many anonymous people out there just want to give money to somebody? Here I am. Quentin and I are here right here. We'll take it anonymously. As long as the check will cash, we'll take it. But the art dealer also confirmed, contrary to what Hunter and the White House have been saying, Hunter knew the identities of the individuals who purchased roughly 70% of his artwork. A couple of them Democrat donors, Kevin Morris and Elizabeth Nefertiti. So this arrangement touted by the administration and media allies was a ploy to deceive the public about Hunter selling mediocre artwork to access seekers while his father occupied the Oval Office, once again selling the brand, the name. Now, I'm reading from a piece written by Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. I wanted to have him on board today to discuss it in more detail, but he had other things he couldn't change. But he also added The Federalist had previously reported that Nefertiti is a L.A.-based real estate investor, influential in California Democrat circles, a significant Democrat donor, also a fundraiser at one time headlined by VP Kamala Harris. And she went on to buy a Hunter artwork in December 2022 for $52,000. I want to see that piece of work worth $52,000. And one of the art gallerists apparently had claimed that one of Hunter's financial backers purchased most of his paintings for $875,000, bought a bunch of them. What's this? Oh, it's a scribble, but really it's a man walking into his future and seeing his past at the same time. Okay, I'll take it. Throw it in with the others, $875,000. They were laundering money, and he had all of his friends coming forward to help him out. I got word yesterday that my oldest grandson is in, he's taking four AP classes as a senior, junior, and going to take more. And one of the classes I saw he got an A in was sculpture, artwork. I said, what are you doing? Are you sculpting nude goddesses? What are you guys doing? He said, no, it's whatever we decide we want to sculpt. I got an A. I said, I want to see that. I should have said, I'll buy it from you. But no, I think I'll see it first. Although we got an A. Hey, remember our pledge, one nation under God.